listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, it is Nick Newmont, and this is Mainstream Metaphysics. It's Tuesday night in Los Angeles. It's November 26th, and evidently it is the calm before the storm, literally. We're having a bomb cyclone supposed to hit us coming down from the Bay Area. Anyway, batten down the hatches. We're supposed to get some rain, and we need it. It would be nice to get it in progressively, but I guess when we get big dumps of water like this, we'll get what we get, and we're grateful. And grateful is something that is going to be going around the next couple days. It is almost Thanksgiving, and we'll be talking tonight a bit more about gratitude and appreciation with my guest tonight. Before we get to that, remember today is a new moon. And why do I put so much focus on moon cycles, especially new moon and full moon? Well, the new moon is the beginning of the lunar cycle. The moon encircles itself, and the new moon is when you begin things or set things in motion. This is a Sag moon, and Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter, which is growth, luck, expansion, money, spirituality, optimism. So when the moon is new in Sagittarius, we want to be Jupiterian. And when people say it's all good, that's a very Jupiterian kind of statement. And so when we set things in motion with Jupiter, we're really setting the ball rolling. If you think of Jupiter as a great big ball, and you want to be very broad-minded, you want to be very open-minded when there's a new moon in Jupiter. And our goals culminate at the full moon, which would be in 14 days. So what are you setting up for yourself? What are your intentions at this new moon? What are you claiming for yourself in terms of abundance and also in spiritual growth? You know, how is your soul growing within you? These are some things that we are going to investigate tonight. You know, once again, if you don't know who I am, if you're just tuning in for the first time, Nick Newmont, I am a psychic astrologer, numerologist. I do a form of healing called sentient healing. I'm a clinical hypnotherapist, and I'm also a paranormal investigator. And at some point, I'll stop introducing myself like that once people get to know who I am. I really enjoy being here. I'm always in gratitude of my friend Sheena Metal, who is always on LA Talk Radio, and she and I have a good time on and off the air. She's a lot of fun, and she brought me into this. And I have to tell you, I really look forward to coming on the air and sharing with you what I do. And at some point, we will take live callers. That's going to come in the new year. But also my intention, as I've been given the opportunity to get exposure of myself and everyone at the Newmont Center in Agoura Hills, to also get exposure for people who deserve it, that in some way, shape, or form can't get into the media that belong there. There are incredible people in the spiritual and metaphysical world, in the healing world, and in the lineup of guests that I have coming up, months to come, is just awesome. And I'm very privileged to have known and been with awesome individuals who are practitioners, healers, or teachers on some level, and experts in their field. So speaking of experts in their field, it's only taken my fifth show to bring in my guest, which is my lovely wife, Audrey. Audrey, welcome. I was thinking about this earlier. It's so funny for me to say welcome. That's like when you walk into our house after work and I go, welcome. It's like, what is that? You're home. And, you know, here, you know, you can be on this show with me as what much as you want. And at some point you host the show, you know, you can do that. You're a lot of fun. Trust me, she is a lot of fun and very funny. And that's a big essence of our relationship, of being able to laugh. I've often said that Audrey is my best audience because I'll make jokes, and not stupid dad jokes. I'll make really good jokes, and Audrey just giggles. And she is just absolutely delightful. Audrey, anyway, here you are.
Hi.
Hi. So you have a lot to offer and a lot to share. And of course, there are listeners and viewers out there that may not know who you are. First of all, Audrey is my partner at the Newmont Center for Balanced Living. She is the nuts and bolts of it. I'm just the face. Audrey does so much there behind the scenes for events and also her own practice, which is incredible. But, you know, as far as Thanksgiving and gratitude goes, I can't say how appreciative enough I am of what you do on so many levels.
I'm a busy girl.
You are. And in fact, it's kind of funny that here we are doing the show together. There are times that our schedules don't match, and it'll be where either like last night, I didn't get home till going on midnight. Audrey was long asleep. Or it'll be the other way around, and then she comes home, and then I'm asleep, or I'm asleep in front of the TV, which doesn't sit well with her. She's watched a lot of TV by herself. It's true, you know, I'm admitting that TV knocks me out, and I've paid a lot of money to sleep in theaters, too.
It's hypnotic.
It is hypnotic, which is, you're a hypnotist. Anyway, enough of me. Tell them about you. Who you are, your background, how you went from another long career into this.
Well, I did have a long career as a hairstylist. In fact, I loved that career, and I was really good at it. I was very busy with it and was an artistic and educational director and loved it. And then there was a point where it's like, I need to transition because that's a very challenging career on the body. So I, long story short, moved into being a practitioner at Agape Spiritual Center and went through 4 years of training. Thank goodness, because that training really was the foundation for a lot of what I do. And then I met you, and I saw what value there was to being a hypnotherapist. So I went through the training to be a hypnotherapist. Mm-hmm. And then when I finished with that training, it was a very fortunate experience. I was able to start working in a rehab. And when I started working in the rehab, I realized that there was a lot of people who probably would not hear the spiritual conversation the way that I heard it. So I started studying a lot of science. People like Bruce Lipton, Greg Braden, Deepak Chopra, and, you know, just a lot of different people who are bridging the worlds of science and spirituality. And that was the thing that put everything over the top. So I use all these different modalities in my practice, and I've come up with a bit of a formula. And for those of you that can watch this, I have a literally like a workbook that I give my clients, and there's these tools that I share with them. And in those tools, it helps them to have something like a do this kind of thing to change their thinking, change their habits from an unconscious place to a more conscious, intentional, you know, I'm doing this kind of thing.
Right. And you do an amazing job of creating analogies, examples, metaphors, and also in the materials that you are working on and have been working on for some time that we're waiting for you to publish, you know. We're waiting. You know, it's really cool the way you word things, that I've watched you take very elaborate concepts and things that you've studied and the people that you've read and reformatted it. And not that you plagiarized. In fact, it's just the opposite. Audrey has taken and put this material into English language that is so easy to understand. And people like analogies. They like metaphors. And they understand that. And you're so good at that.
Well, I did it intentionally because along the way I realized, and one of the things that I make very simple for people, it's like when anything is going on in our life, we're having any trouble with anything, it's always a belief system, always. And I liken it to if you were to have a controller that runs your life, the actual controller itself is your belief system.
You mean like a Xbox?
Yeah, controller. Like an Xbox controller. Okay. In fact, I'll tell you a really quick, funny story. I had this kid that came in, and for anybody that shows up in my office, I'm always trying to find that thing that they can relate to. So this kid came in, and they're about to be 13, and I asked him, it's like, do you play games? And he's like, well, yeah, I play Rainbow. And I looked at him, and I was like, is that like with unicorns? And he looks at me, and he's like, no, it's one of those games where you, like, fight people, and you have to do all of that. And so I looked at him, I said, so would you ever take the controller and just set it down and let the guy go willy-nilly in the game and just do whatever he wants to do in there? And he looked at me like I was crazy. And he's like, no, you know, I got to strategize and I got to know how I died. And if I died this way, I can't do that again because I need to learn from how that happened and I need to use my tools and I need to use all this stuff. And so I looked at him and I said, well, interestingly enough, you have a controller for the game of your life and you set it down. So here's what the controller is. The actual controller itself is your belief systems. And then on top, the three buttons that actually run your life are your intention, what do you want? And then your attention, are you keeping your attention on what you want? A lot of time people put their attention onto what they don't want. Here's the problem. And then the other button is perception. What do you believe about you? What do you believe about the world? What are your perceptions of everything? And so I told this kid that, and I explained all of that to him, and I got to tell you, the next week he came back in, and he was like another kid. In fact, his mother, I saw her not long ago. They had bought a series with me, and she said, we're saving the last two because he's doing so good. We're waiting for him to mess up. So, you know, when you're able to take the challenges of life and understand how to work through them in a much easier way, then it makes it all, you know, much simpler. And
sure.
I got to tell you, I had to do it myself. I was in my own life. I had my own belief systems. And one of the strongest belief systems was that I was stupid. My mother literally would say as a kid, she'd say the dumb one. Or, you know, she's cute, but she's not so smart. So I grew up with the belief system that I was cute, but not that smart. And when you're operating from that and you can throw some unworthy and not valuable on top of it, then you're not really creating very powerfully. So in the material that I put together, I wanted to make it simple enough so that people didn't have to take the 10 years that I took to figure out all the science and the spirituality and all those things. So I take this big information and I bring it down into a very user-friendly format.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you create something like that. Like, for instance, when I wrote my numerology book, well, that was a reprogramming of something that's been around for thousands of years. In your case, you've taken and created a program. You've invented a program. You've innovated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really special because until something really gets out there, other than working on your clients where it's tried and true, you know, the proof is in the pudding and it works, you know, people don't know, you know. And so the challenge of being an inventor, any of the great inventors, and I mean, they told Edison the way he was going to do the light bulb, it wouldn't work like that, you know, with the metal and what he was using. And it 10, worked.
10,000 times later.
Right, exactly. but that's really cool that you have created a program that is not only for you, but for instance, myself, there's certain things in Audrey's program that I will incorporate, and I will quote Audrey, and I don't quote other people, by the way. I don't quote other metaphysicians or their stuff. You know, a lot of what I do is what I do, but there's certain things that you've created that I've had my clients do that are hypnotherapy clients, because it's that good.
So. Well, I think the other part of it, when people come to a hypnotherapist, I mean, I've had many people show up and they're like, you need to hypnotize me. You know, you need to fix me kind of thing.
Right.
And one of the reasons that I put this together is because I can't fix anybody. It's not who I am, I can give you the tools for you to fix yourself. And I have to say, over the years, there's been many, many of my clients who have gone from zero to leading a life that's very fabulous. And then I've had other people, it's like they just, for whatever reason at the time, they didn't want to do the process, as it were.
Well, the key with hypnotherapy, even though people are going into hypnosis, hypnotherapists, we don't cure or fix anyone. We are, as therapists, we're behavioralists. And so we help people shift their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So the circumstances change and they start to think differently. That's what we do.
There's a big part of it with people. You don't know what you don't know. You know, and so much of it is an unconscious behavior. So our job is kind of like to show them what they don't know and to bring their unconscious habits, their behaviors that aren't working for them to the surface so that they have an opportunity to change it.
Well, that's one of the questions I had in my notes for you is, you know, what do you do when people don't know they have a problem?
Well, the great news is with the work that I do, anytime that you're not, let me back it up a little bit. In the work that I do, I basically say people have two emotions. They've got love and they've got fear. And so when you're in your fear emotions, there's all these feelings that go along with it. So there's the feelings of anger, of rage, anxiety, stress, worry, you know, uncomfortable. So whenever you're in those feelings, you're having a problem. But people get so used to being anxious, they think it's just, this is who I am. Or they're so angry that they've suppressed it all and they don't even realize sometimes that they're even being angry. And everybody around them is like, you're angry. And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm not angry at all. So when people come to see us, it's like we have to, in a gentle way, where kind of like we have to be their private investigator, but we also have to show them in a way that they can hear it. So whenever you're in any of those fear feelings, it's always a belief, every single time. And it's something that is, and there's an ability to change it.
Well, there is an ability to change it, but they have to want to change it,
mm-hmm.
too. A lot of times you mentioned anger, and that has come up quite a bit with my clients where I've brought up anger, and a lot of people don't understand anger as the emotion. A lot of people think when you say the word anger that because they're not ranting and raving, you know, and screaming, that that's anger. And that's anger is something more deeply in the body. And if anger is internalized too much, that becomes depression.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you help them identify that they are angry, you know, even though they're not yelling and screaming?
It's a process. So they'll come in with a story of some sort. And I'll be like, well, how do you feel about that? And then they'll tell me, well, sometimes they just say, I don't know. And it's like, well, that's part of the key right there. We've got to start getting tuned into what it is that you do know about your feelings. And I got to say, in my office, one of the things that makes it work is it's a safe place. I invite them to get angry. In fact, I encourage them to get angry. And I'll possibly say, you know, if such and such was going on, I think there's a lot of people that would be angry about it. So I make a safe environment. And then, you know, in the process of it all, there's this part where they can gradually, slowly but surely see the anger, and then more importantly, understand how it's affecting in their body, and also how to go about the process of working through it rather than being stuck in it.
Mm-hmm. Anger is important. Anger is a defense mechanism for a lot of people.
So, and sometimes people think it's powerful. Well, if I'm angry, I'm powerful, because they maybe saw their parents when they were kids being angry, and they recognize that as powerful because that's what they learned as a kid. If somebody's ranting and raving, he's tough and he's strong, then he must be powerful,
right,
or she.
Right, because then there's sort of a bullying concept that comes with that. When I played sports, if something happened, whether when I was playing baseball or football, I found if I got angry, not yelling and screaming, but anger within, that was a motivator for me. And it was controlled. You know, it was like, it wasn't what I was saying. It was, okay. And I would get even more focused with that. So it is a defense mechanism that's very valuable.
Well, and to be clear, it's not. There's nothing wrong with being angry.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with being in all of those feelings. There's nothing wrong with being in fear. It's, do you want to use it or do you want to live in it? You know, because you can use it to learn from it, or you can live in it and be miserable.
Right. Let's talk about fear.
Okay.
That's come up. You're an easy interview. Jeez. I know how you think. And vice versa. All right. So when I bring up fear with some of my clients, first, a lot of their mind goes to, well, he's saying that I'm afraid. Like it's not like the boogeyman has come in or Freddy Krueger. A lot of people don't understand what fear is. So help people viewing and listening define fear.
So in the way that I put it together in my program, it's false evidence appearing real. And it is the opposite of your power. So when you're in fear, for me and in the work that I do, it's the emotions of anything from the bottom of it being depression, up to rage, anger, anxiety, stress, worry, all those things. And in that is also judgment. Judgment right now is huge. It is enormous. The amount of judgment that people are living in, they're judging themselves, they're judging others, they're judging just everything. And that is extremely debilitating. So, mm-hmm. So when I'm saying fear, what happens is when we're feeling those feelings, our heart, which is the center of us. People think that our brain is so, you know, much of who we are. Our brain is a processor. We have all these minds of different things that we do. But the heart literally has a brain in it. And when we're feeling those feelings that I call fear feelings, we're literally producing electromagnetic energy that's talking to the 50 trillion cells that make up us. So when we're feeling that feeling and that vibration is talking to our body, it's literally telling the energy to leave the center and it goes to the extremities. And it's working in conjunction with our brain to produce the chemicals like adrenaline and cortisol and stress hormones. So when we're feeling those feelings, unfortunately, we're not having a lot of control over what's going on within our body. It's almost like if you were to be driving a car and you were to put the car in park and you were to put the foot on the accelerator, you're not going anywhere, but the inside of you is revving and revving and revving uncontrollably. And so that's what happens when people actually will have an anxiety attack. So when all of these things are going on within our body, it's also creating where we're not thinking clearly. So when I say fear, I'm saying when you're in these feelings, and every single time, again, I could probably say this a million times in my lifetime, it's always a belief. So on the other hand, when we're feeling calm, then everything changes. The energy comes grounded, centered focus. We're producing more of the feel-good factors of dopamine, serotonin. Everything's relaxed and comfortable, and we're thinking more clearly and beginning to think much more expansively. So when I say fear, it's not that you're literally afraid of something. This is the mode kind of that you're in.
Well, you have a great exercise that you employ. You call it fear into power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very affirmative kind of thing. But can you describe that?
Yeah, it's in my workbook. It's literally the second tool that's going to be in my book. So the first tool is to be mindful and to pay attention to what's going on with your thoughts and kind of even more importantly, your feelings. So when you're feeling angry or you're feeling anxious, when you're doing this exercise on the left-hand side of the page, you write at the top on the column, you write fear. So what is this thing? I'm angry. So I've got to stop and I have to ponder, why am I angry? What's going on at the moment? Most of the time, the belief systems that we take on are from the ages of 0 to 8, where we're kind of taking on the program from our caregivers. And it's also through experience. So when you're doing this exercise, you're literally saying, this isn't really who I am being angry. This is a program that I'm running. So if you want to know what the program is, you got to step back and look at it and say, what is this thing? What's going on here? And then when you can get some clarity on it, I'll give you an example of it. I had an experience with my, one of my daughters, and she was in her room and she was changing and the window was open. And I went in there and I saw that the window was open and I blew a gasket. I was like, what are you doing? You're changing. And I go and I'm like crawling over her bed to shut the curtains. And she looks at me and she's like, Mom, you know, you're over exaggerating. And I was like, no, I'm not. You know, you shouldn't be changing. And I literally was over exaggerating. So the next day I had to sit down with myself and be like, all right, so I was over exaggerating. What was this thing? It's obviously either an experience that I had or a belief that I took on. So as I'm sitting there, out of nowhere, this memory came up of me of a young girl, and I had just gotten into bed, turning off my light, and I hear this sound at the window, and there's a man staring at me. Mm. So the unconscious terror that I had felt as a young girl came surging forward, and it was like right there, front and center, when this thing happened with my daughter. Now, in the moment when I was a kid, it was the kind of thing where I was so terrified I couldn't scream. And my stepfather came in there and he ended up going out with his shotgun looking for the guy. He didn't find him, but he found the brick that he had put under my window. And the interesting thing is, as a little young girl, he came back in and there was no comforting. There wasn't any, you know, making it all better. There was, he's gone, you go back to sleep kind of thing. So then when my daughter is changing, all that terror came to the surface. And so in the process that I show people with this fear into power, you're recognizing, oh, this isn't me. This isn't who I am. This is that little girl part of me that was terrified then, and she's terrified now. So then in that workbook or in the process that you do, you own your intention for moving forward. So there's a part of it where I can let go of the terror around it and tell my daughter, you know, this is what it was. And then I can heal that unconscious part and move on from there. Mm-hmm. Does that explain that?
It sure does. Now, there's when it comes to what you were just talking about, You went back mentally in your own timeline.
Mm-hmm.
But you, as a therapist, when you're working with people, you have them roll out long pieces of paper, like butcher paper, and you have them do a timeline.
Yeah.
Which is very cathartic.
It is.
So talk about timeline work.
So that's another process that's in my workbook. And I have to say, this is one of those things that's very interesting because we learn behavior, like I said, between 0 and 8, we kind of learn our program. And a lot of us, you can look at your life and it's like, oh my God, I do this like my mother or my father. I do, you know, things that I don't want to be doing, but it's like a program that's running. And so a lot of clients that come to us will have issues around love and romance. They'll have issues around finances and their career, you know, with money and success, or they'll have issues with their health. And so what we do is, he's not kidding, I have this like butcher block, and I asked him, how long of a page do you want? Just recently, one of my clients was like, she took a page that was almost the length of my office, and I'm sure she's like working on it. But what it allows you to do is to see the patterns that we create that are unconscious. So as an example, I had a client, and I think this story is so telling. She had an issue with drugs and alcohol. And so she's telling me her story of life, and she says to me at one point that she had, when she was younger, had a treatment for something, and she had an allergic reaction to it. And she went into where she couldn't breathe, and her mother and her were just having this anxiety. And luckily, she was able to work through it, and they were fine. And then she continues to tell me the story, and she says, yeah, when I was 12 years old, that she out of nowhere had an anxiety attack and she couldn't breathe. And so her parent, not knowing any better, they didn't realize what was going on with her, they ended up putting her on drugs. This drug will fix you. And so she was fine for a while. And then out of nowhere, when she hit 18, She had another anxiety attack, and again, the breathing thing. And as she said that, I looked at her and I said, that's very interesting. In my mind, I was doing her timeline. And I said, you know, you had that thing at 6 and then at 12 and at 18. And I looked at her and I said, did something happen when you were born where maybe like the umbilical cord was wrapped around your neck and you were unable to breathe? And she looked at me and she's like, well, no. But when I was 3 weeks old, I had the whooping cough. So we were able to look at that and see where the pattern was, and we could see why she got this belief in her that drugs were going to, in some way, shape, or form, fix her. And she could see on a level, because there was more to the story. And when you have that kind of awareness, that it's not that I'm just an alcoholic or a drug addict or whatever all these things are that we believe about ourselves, that you can understand it's not who I am, it's what I have believed, and I can see it in the timeline, because gonna just say, in your own timeline, you're the common denominator. So when you can see what you've done, not what other people have done, and why you've chosen all the things that you have chosen along the way, and more importantly, kind of, where did I get that belief? And there's no judgment on where you would have gotten it from. There's just compassion. Everybody learns all of this stuff. So when you're doing that timeline and you're able to see the patterns and the belief systems, that's bringing the unconscious to the surface so that you can change it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, like you said, it brings an awareness.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that, and you have shared this with me, obviously, that, and this is a testimony to the effectiveness of Audrey's program. First of all, as hypnotherapists, there's no time frame on how long someone is going to be working with us. However, hypnotherapy is designed to expedite the process. Mm-hmm. So the person, we're not working with the same people for 20 years, you know, two nights a week. And that's, I said that on another show. I didn't become a psychotherapist or a psychologist because I didn't want to do that. You know, I wanted people to, you know, get moving on and see different people. But what you've shared with me is that people will get a package of 5 sessions with you, and Audrey will say, well, they're not coming back. It's because you did your job.
And I got to tell you, I love that. So they'll come back every now and again, but they really, once you own your own tools, once you understand how to work through those things that are you feel powerless about, when you understand how to own your power in those things, then everything changes.
You know, one thing about Audrey is that she's very egoless. She doesn't come home and say what a good job she did on the clients. She talks about how the clients have improved. And that's wonderful, because a lot of people, I did this and I did that. But that's not how you talk. You talk,
because it's not what I'm doing. Well, I mean, they're changing their lives.
They are changing.
You know, I got to tell you, that's why I don't do hypnosis as much as some people do. I've had people come in and be like, oh my God, I had a day. You really need to hypnotize me because you got to fix this. And those are people, exactly that person, I don't do hypnosis on, because I don't want people to rely on me. And that's right. Why I put together all these tools. It's like, if you do this, you're going to change your life.
Well, that's why we've said, you know, on my show several times, the difference between prescriptive and subscriptive therapy. You want your clients doing more subscriptive. They are doing the work. They're buying into the process,
mm-hmm.
and doing what they need to do. No, it's good. Now, I mentioned early in the show, as we're, you know, moving toward Thanksgiving and appreciation and gratitude, you have a graph that has to do with the electromagnetic output of the heart.
And I love this.
So talk about this. I love this,
too. This is through an organization called HeartMath, heartmath.org. And the information is just so powerful. You know, people didn't know for the longest time how incredibly powerful the heart is. So just in the 1990s, did they realize that the heart has its own little brain in it? And when the heart and the mind are coherent, when you're in your mind saying, this is what I'm creating, and within your heart, you believe it, you're going to create what you want to create. But if you really want to make things happen in a big way, appreciation is the key. And here's why. And you can go to HeartMath and you can see this, but I'm going to explain it. So if you were to look at an electrocardiogram, you know, those things that are measuring the heartbeat. So there's the heartbeat, and then there's the space between the beats. So if you're looking at anger, there's the heartbeat, and then for anger, it's jagged, and it's all kinds of crazy all over the place, and then another heartbeat again. And the energy that that puts out, in my Audrey language, it's got a whole fun name to it and everything, but I'm just going to call it what it puts out. So it's talking to your body, and it's also talking to this intelligent space that we're living in. Anger goes up to about 135. And then if you're to look at another heartbeat and you're looking at calm, so you got the heartbeat and then you got the space in between, the space levels out in between and it gets much more smooth and it's much more level. But again, the energy goes up to somewhere around 135. Then when you're feeling the feeling of appreciation, you got the heartbeat. And then you've got the space in between, and everything's really smooth and expansive and lovely. And you got the heartbeat again. And the number goes up to 700. So it goes from 135 of how creative that is to 700. So just for fun, people in the audience, sit there and think about this. You've got this week of appreciation, of being thankful. In your mind and in your heart, think of someone or something, just whatever would make you feel a moment of deep appreciation, and own that feeling. Or maybe if it's something that you want to create in your life and you've been struggling to create it, how much have you been appreciating that it's already in the works, that it's already happening? So when you're feeling, and when you train yourself, like I've gotten to the point where I can literally feel deep appreciation, and that's talking to those 50 trillion cells that make up me, it literally will create a vibration throughout my body. So the more that you are in appreciation, the more your body feels it, the more it will heal itself, and the more that you'll be creating exactly what you want to be creating. It's wildly creative. So in this week of Thanksgiving, when you're at the Thanksgiving table with all those people that you may have a challenge in experiencing appreciation with, find something that you appreciate about each one of them and watch how the atmosphere can change.
And one of the things that you say, and this adds into that, this is a time, as you say, focus on the solution, not the problem.
Oh, yeah. I got to say, I've been having some people coming in and they're going off for Thanksgiving, and they're ahead of time going, oh, I know it's going to be challenging. I know it's going to be this and that. And it's like, you don't know that. We are wildly creative people. So think about ahead of time before you go into meeting with your family. If you know there's going to be a challenge with something, what can you do to create a solution around it? What can you do to focus on anything positive at all?
Right. Well, as we're now this week officially go into the holiday season, some people revel in the holiday season and some people dread it. And we see both sides. And the people who revel in the holiday season, we don't see until January or so. The people that are challenged by the holiday season, we will be working during December, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, we're there. When it comes to our place, the Newmont Center in Agoura Hills, what is your intention, vision, perception of where that's going?
Well, one thing that I really love is to bring in community. And right now in the world, there's all these incredible modalities for healing. So we've got these people that are working with us who bring in like quantum biofeedback. We have this guy that just started with us on Saturday.
Lifestream.
He's got this amazing machine that is just I mean, it just does phenomenal things in the body. We've got another guy that does acupuncture and Chinese medicine. He was on last week.
Yeah, Dr. McGuire was here last week, right?
So for me, I think that it's an interesting time right now where people are starting to realize that there are a lot more solutions for the mind, body, and spirit that are getting to be much more mainstreamed. Like, that's why we created metaphysics, or mainstream metaphysics, mm-hmm. because I think we're in a moment where people are understanding the science behind it, and that there is a great ability to do the things that we never realized we could do. Like, as an example, I healed a kidney stone that I had using the tools that we use.
Go ahead.
And when we're able to, like, heal a lump, and I had a lump as well, I healed that. And, you know, I've realized over the years, we've studied all these different teachers, and Nick and I teach a class, it's called Healthy Mind, Healthy Body. And it's an 8-week course that we do, and we're literally showing people the body syndromes within who they are and how that is creative. So once I realized what was creating that kidney stone, if you look it up, and God bless her, Louise Hay, she's just brilliant. She has a book called You Can Heal Your Life. And in the back of it, you can look at all the body syndromes. So when I got this thing, it looked it up, and it's like lumps of undissolved anger. It's exactly what was going on with me. So once I realized what that was and I could process through it using the timeline and using that fear into power tool, and then I was actually able to, it was kind of like I held a very strong prayer when that thing reared its ugly little head. I got to say, you never want to have a kidney stone. It is not fun. But in the process of it, everything is just energy within our body. I mean, we're 50 trillion cells of intelligent energy. So when I could redirect the energy and I could let go of that thing that no longer was necessary, what I learned from it, then I could let go of the kidney stone. So when you're asking what with Newmont Center or what we're doing, or even in putting out my book, the whole intention is for people who think that they are powerless, people that think that maybe they're stupid, or people that think that they're not valuable or not worthy. It's for them to have a clear understanding of who they are. And when we're able to use all these different modalities, all these different people that we're bringing in, like we had just yesterday morning, Mika Shoemaker came in and she did a breathwork meditation, and followed by Stina, who did a sound bath. And the people that were there were like, I wanted to say that they were like melted butter. They were like, oh my gosh. You know, it just cleared out so much stuff. So there's a part of it where people have to have an awareness that we were designed to be still. We were designed to be in nature. We were designed mm-hmm. to have these moments of balance in our life where we work, we play, we meditate, we connect. You know, we do all of these things. So when we say it's Newmont Center for Balanced Living, we're bringing together all these different kinds of modalities and making them accessible and making them more mainstream. It's not anything mm-hmm. weird. When we're talking metaphysics, it's nothing bizarre or strange. It's your energy, and it's right. just working with that energy.
Right. And metaphysics means something that's greater than the physical world. Yes, and it is something that we do present in a way so people can understand it. Now we have a couple workshops coming this weekend.
Yes, we do.
On Saturday there's the intentional healing chakra plate class, which I showed the chakra plate last week on the show. So they've heard that. That's all day at the Newmont Center in Agoura Hills. And your workshop on Sunday is so much fun.
It is fun. So, you know, I used to be very creative in being a hairstylist, and I missed that. So I started just putting, you know, when we moved in our office, it was like, we need some artwork.
Right.
And I thought, oh, why don't I just make some? And so it turned into making these canvases with all of these crystals all over them. It's like a crystal collage. So then we have expanded that where people can come and they can put their favorite quote on it, and then they put the crystals around it. Or they can just come and put crystals on and make their own artwork for it. So that's coming up on Sunday from 1 to 5 or 6. And we're just going to be playing, and mm-hmm. everybody brings in their own canvas, and then I have all the goodies, and we have a whole area full of crystals. So we just make crystals. It's fun.
Right. It's a lot of fun. And some of the pieces that Audrey has made are just gorgeous, and especially the one in the lobby at our center. You should take a picture of that and put it up on Facebook so people can see that.
It's
Audrey,
a meditation.
What?
It's a meditation
it
when I do that.
When you do that. Tell everyone how all the different ways they can get in touch with you if they want to reach you.
So I have a website, AudreyNewmont.com. I am on Facebook at Audrey Newmont. I also have Tools for Transformation with Audrey Newmont. And I'm on Instagram, and all my information.
What's your phone number?
818-665-6165.
There we go. 818-665-6165. If you would like the general number to the Newmont Center, that's 818-865-8770. And if you'd like to get a hold of me, I am on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. You can call the office number. And my email is nnewmont@gmail.com and newmontcenter.net. And there's nicknewmont.com. There's all these different ways to get a hold of us. If you have questions, any questions about what you listened to or what you saw, reach out to us. And then we have another event coming up on Sunday, December 8th, which begins at 11. It's called Sunday with the Psychics. And go ahead.
And Sheena Metal's going to be there.
Absolutely.
And Sheena Metal. Have some other psychics that are going to be there as well. Some really amazing talent.
Right.
I mean, just great.
Yep. Jillian Kane, Wendy Kashefi, myself, I'll be doing readings that day. That information is up on Facebook, and it's also up on Meetup too.
Mm-hmm.
If you're interested in having a reading with any of the four readers, that'll be available that day. And we have so many different classes and events that will be coming up in the new year.
Yeah.
You already mentioned Healthy Mind, Healthy Body. We'll be presenting that. We also present a 4-week course on success. That will come up in 2020, and some of the other practitioners will be presenting classes too. So we are busy. We're ever growing at our center. It will be growing again by square footage in January. So it's been a lot of fun to do this. And Audrey, it's been a lot of fun to be business partner with you, not just husband and wife and mom and dad. You know, it's we have very full lives, and they're very enriched, and we have created a lot together. It's just amazing, you know, when you know, as any of you are partners or spouses out there, when you look on your lives and when you see when you've been together 20 years or more, and like, oh my God,
at some point in the future, you're going to have to tell them how we met.
That will come up. And the other thing is, we didn't get into it tonight, but at some point, I want you to talk about, and we'll create a whole theme on this, on relationships, on your list.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah.
And how to make a list.
Yeah, for those of you that are single and looking for your partner, I have methods to get you what you want. I've had people who haven't had a boyfriend or a girlfriend for a very long time who are having relationships now that they never dreamed that they'd be having. So mm-hmm. that's another part of the process that I share.
One last thing about you is you don't tout yourself as a highly psychic or intuitive or anything like that. But one thing about you that's happened as time is you've become way more tuned in things. And I've come to realize that about you. You know, it's really funny for both of us. our kids, you know, have two parents that are very tuned in, and therapists, and you want to elaborate on that for a moment?
No.
Okay. it makes for interesting times, but it's quite a lovely household that we have.
We're blessed.
We really are. And we're also...
And we're going to be even more blessed soon. One of my daughters is having a baby.
That's right.
Yay.
So, yes, congratulations to her and the whole family. We are just about out of time. So this has been Mainstream Metaphysics. This is Nick Newmont. Audrey? Anyone?
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here.
Well, you will be back. It's a pleasure having you here. I have someone to drive home with. Hey, can I buy you a drink?
When we get home.
Yeah, there we go. Anyway, thanks again. It's been wonderful. And again, happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. And
we're thankful for you.
Absolutely. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.